ever done before. Oh, foundations are shaking, and every curse is breaking. Strongholds are falling, and greater things are coming.
Foundations are shaking.
She's just saying. I know he's able, and I know he's willing, and I know he wants to. Sometimes the only thing that holds him back is me. All right, you could go ahead and be seated this morning. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. So great to have you here today. And we have our adult Bible class here this morning, and it is just a great day, so nice and sunny outside. I thank God for KW heating and air conditioning, because our air conditioner and furnace went out a few weeks ago, and Calvin Wells came over and put us in a new furnace and a new air conditioner. And I didn't realize our old one was as bad as it was, but boy, does it get nice and cold in our house now. Woke up this morning and our bedroom was 68 degrees, and I'm like, man, it's cold in here. I'll probably spend most of the afternoon just sitting in there. Oh, we've been in a series, and this series I had mentioned earlier that it's probably going to take us until the end of the summer, right up to the beginning of school. And we've titled this series, Lord Teach Us. Lord Teach Us. And we've talked about being teachable. So we had a few lessons on being teachable. We talked about how to listen. That part of, or a very important piece of teachability or being taught, is how well do we listen. We talked about that, and then last week we talked about how when God speaks to us, when the Lord spoke to us in throughout the New Testament, throughout Scripture, that oftentimes he spoke in parables. So we had a little bit of a lesson on parables and what a parable is and how parables function. So today we're going to move on to another aspect of teachability. And this is a very critical aspect. It's great to be able to be taught. We had the attributes of what it being teachable is, and it's great to listen, and it's great to know one of the methods in which Jesus spoke to us was through parables. But we're going to talk today, and this will be a two-part lesson on learning to hear God's voice. Learning to hear God's voice. I am amazed over the years that I've been involved in leadership here at Calvary, and it's going on 17 years. Hard to believe it's been that long. Not a senior pastor, but just as working on the pastoral staff. And one of the most common questions that people ask me, other than who cuts my hair, is I'm just joking there because we had a conversation. A very common question that is asked is, how do you know God's voice? When you hear, how do you recognize the voice of God in your life? Now, we're going to start off this morning. We're just going to read our passage. I believe that our scriptural passage is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. I'm just going to read verse 11 and then verse 13. The end of verse 13. And one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Teach us to pray. In our prayer meeting last week ago, Friday night, Sister Linda Brown brought that into aspect into our prayer meeting. Lord, teach us to pray. And I just want to say that prayer is simply nothing more than a conversation with your God. And the reason I put it a conversation with your God is because sometimes we pray or we have conversations with gods other than our God. We talked a little bit about idolatry and how that we can allow. We don't like to use the word, and it's kind of an archaic word, perhaps in Christian ranks when we talk about idolatry. But there's all kinds of things that we idolize and we put, and we have conversations with those things. So praying to God is just conversation, and the biggest thing when you pray is you have to give God time to respond, don't we? And most of the time, we kind of cut short on that. We kind of throw our prayer out there. We jump into our schedule for the day, and we're on driving down the Beltline and all of these other things that we do during our day, and we don't listen enough. So he said, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And at the end of these passages, he ends, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. It is said, and I've read this, that a small baby in the womb of its mother, the first voice that it hears and recognizes is the voice of the mother. As the mother speaks, the vibrations of her vocal cords vibrate throughout the body, and that little fetus, that little infant inside the mother recognizes that voice above any other voice. And as the baby begins to grow and develop, as it gets larger and larger and develops more and more, that voice becomes more and more of a comfort to that small child that is growing in the womb of his mother. Now, as a father, my daughter, when she was just a little tiny newborn, my wife had things were much different in those days. She had a few weeks of maternity leave. Dads didn't get any maternity leave back in those days. You just had to suck it up and go back to work the next day. And so I'm thankful for some of the family leave and things like that to give fathers an opportunity to make those adjustments. But I didn't get that. We didn't have that. And my wife, when she went back to work, to make things work in our schedule and financially, she went back to work second shift. We had this grand plan and this great idea that I would watch Lana while she was at work because it was in the evenings and it shouldn't be too difficult. And then I worked first shift and we had all of this worked out and it was going to work out just perfect. We're going to save all this kind of money and all this and that. But it didn't quite work out that way. I remember down working in the basement on a project, and I had a little baby bed, a little crib down there, and Lana was in the crib, and she was just crying and crying, and I didn't know what the problem was, and she didn't have a dirty diaper. I had fed her. I did everything I knew to do, and I couldn't stop her from crying. So I got on the telephone, and I called up her Aunt Joni, and I said, "Hey, Joni, I don't know what to do." And she's like, "Bring her over." So I drive all the way across town over to Fish Hatchery Road and went to her apartment, and I walk in, and Joni takes her and starts talking to her real soft and real, you know, how mommies do. And Lana just calmed right down, and everything was fine. And we went to, we left there and went over and picked Lois up from work. And I spent a lot of time at Aunt Joni's house. I spent a lot of time calling my mom and dad and say, "I don't know what to do. Help me." So I would go to mom and dad's house, and Aunt Jan, thank God for Aunt Jan Rager, because she was always there. And I'd say, "Aunt Jan, I don't know how to help me. Bring her over." Now, you probably think that Lana did nothing but cry when she was a baby. She wasn't any different than any other child, other than I just didn't have the touch. But it amazed me, because she would cry and cry, and I would put her in the car and drive to pick up mom. And as soon as Lois got in the car and she began to talk to Lana, Lana would just calm right down. She'd go home, feed her. She'd go and she'd sleep all night long. I couldn't get her to sleep at all. She'd sleep all night long. You see, sometimes just hearing mama's voice was all that it took to comfort my daughter when she was a baby. Just hearing that voice. Now, this simple illustration is very much the same way that God should be in our lives. That when we're frustrated, we've had a bad day, we've had a bad week, sometimes we just have bad months. You know, you start off with Monday, and it's the first, and by the time you get to the 14th, things haven't got better, and you just read, you know what, let's just scratch the month of July. Let's just start new in August. I mean, we just have those, because that's how life can be at times. Sometimes you get to the end. I'm sure everybody, when they got to the end of 2020, they were like, "Whoa, awesome, flush it, let's start over." But when we hear the voice of God, as a Christian, we should know what the sound of that voice is in our lives. And so many times we don't understand, we don't hear, we don't recognize, and we go through life in frustration because we don't recognize and we don't hear the voice of our daddy in our lives the way we should. So sometimes just in the thick of life and the difficulty of life, just hearing the voice of my Heavenly Father saying, "Don't worry, don't panic, just stay calm, I got this, I got this." It's the same feeling that your children feel when they hear the voice of their mom or their dad. But you see, we live in a world today where there's so many loud, obnoxious voices crying out to be heard. And in all of the loud and all of the obnoxious, all of the frustration and all of that that is flowing throughout society, it's very difficult to get into a quiet place so you can hear the voice of God. So we ask the question sometimes, how, with all the noise and with all the clutter, how does one even know that God is speaking? I believe God desires to speak to every one of us every day, multiple times a day. I don't know. God created animals before he created man, but obviously there was something missing. If I could just be so simple in this, something missing in the life of God where God says, I want to create something that I can sit down on a rock and talk to. I think that's why animals don't have vocal cords and reasoning in such the way humans do. God created us for one reason, and that was relationship. And God wants to hear from you and I every day, no matter how bad of a day we're having. God wants to hear from us. So we have to ask the question, how do we even know? I've had people in my life, both past and present, speak to me on a number of things regarding the spiritual aspects of life. During a worship service a few years ago, someone came up to me and they just said, well, God has a word for you. I want to share this with you. This God just spoke to me and told me I'm supposed to tell you this. They began to go in. I was polite, and I said, thank you, and I continued my worship time. But I'm amazed as to how many people in the house of God, how many well-meaning saints just come up to people random and say, well, God spoke to me and says I'm supposed to tell you something. As if I can't hear God for myself. Now, there's a book out there that said, I think John Bevere wrote it, Thus Saith the Lord, I believe is the title of the book. It's a very good book. Talks about how people sometimes just say, God spoke to me and told me to tell you this, when it really wasn't God. And we have to be very careful. I would just go as far as to say that I don't trust every saint of God when it comes to them saying, thus saith the Lord in my life. Okay? I've seen too much damage caused by God told me to tell you. I've had people say that, and they were right on. I had someone recently come up and say, you know, I don't really know how to say this, but I just feel I need to. And they begin to share something with me, and they were right spot on. It was a reminder of something that God had done in my life. And I needed to hear that. Because, you see, we don't always know what a brother or sister is going through. We don't know what fights they're fighting, and so it's very careful. I've seen a lot of damage caused by God told me. Like I said, I've had people say that they were right on, and then I've had people say things like that, and they were way, 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 way off base. So how does one differentiate? How do we know? How do we know real from false? How do we know God's voice versus the voice of others? Now, God's voice, and this is what we have to understand when we look at our lives, God's voice is not the only voice that's speaking in our lives. There are basically three voices that we hear. We should hear God's voice. And we have our adversary, the enemy. You could call him Satan. That's what is Lucifer, I mean, however you want to term him in your life. So you have God's voice, you have the voice of the enemy, and then we have ourself. Has anybody here ever talked to yourself? I talk to myself, and sometimes I answer now. Used to be I'd just talk to myself, and no answer would come, and now I talk to myself, and I give an answer. Not for sure what that means, but we have these voices. So we have God's voice, we have self, and we have Satan. And all of these voices, depending on where we are at that point in our lives, can wreak havoc in our lives. If we're unable to distinguish between those three voices. Now, just think about this. We say this all the time. God's voice is going to be the voice of reason and sanity. Well, think about it just for a minute before you draw that complete conclusion. We can look into the Old Testament. We can look at some of the prophets that were prophets of God that God routinely spoke to. We look at them today and we reverence, there's a great deal of reverence to these prophets. We can go into the book of Hosea and you can read and begin reading Hosea chapter 1 and it's Hosea saying, do you want, God is saying, excuse me, do you want to hear me speak, Hosea? Hosea is a prophet and God says, do you want to hear me speak? And Hosea wanting to fulfill that role in his life, he says, I'd love to be your prophet, God. Yes, speak to me. Speak loud, speak clear so I can understand. And what does God tell him to do? He says, go marry a prostitute. Really? Well, you just think about that if you were here today and you were praying at the altar and say, God, speak to me. And God says, you really want me to speak to you? And God says, yes. I want you to leave here. I want you to give your car away. I want you to give your house away. And I want you to go marry a prostitute. You're going to look at that and think about that. You're going to say, no, wait a minute. Does God really speak? Well, he did. We read about Jeremiah. I recently did a study on the book of Jeremiah, and it's incredible. Same thing. Do you want to hear me speak in your life, Jeremiah? Yes. But he has an excuse. He says, I'm too young. I'm not old enough. I don't have enough life experience, but I'd love to hear you speak. So God speaks to him. But we find out in the book of Jeremiah that the price of hearing God's message, he paid a very high price to hear the message of God in his life. You see, the people he was supposed to be ministering to, they cursed him, they mocked him, they tossed him in jail, they bound him in chains, they threw him into a muddy pit. They beat the poor man senseless. They humiliated him in public marketplaces by locking him up in stocks. And at the end of it all, after speaking everything that God told him to say, the people never really believed a single word that he said. This is God speaking. We have another prophet, which I think in this case, this is almost like a scratch your head moment. Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah. He has the same thing. God, if you want me to be your prophet, speak to me. And God gives him a command. And it was the most obscure, craziest, off the wall. God says, okay, take your clothes off, Isaiah. Okay, God, can I ask why? God basically says, no, you can't ask why. None of your business. Just take your clothes off. So the poor man says, well, how long do I have to do this, God? Just when I'm in the shower? No. You take them off until I tell you to put them back on again. Now, this is God speaking into the life of his prophets. So what does he do? He strips off his clothes and Could you just imagine poor Isaiah walking down the streets of Jerusalem going to get food? The people, hey, Isaiah, look at our prophet. Where are your clothes at, Isaiah? What are you doing naked? He says, well, I took them off. Why'd you take them off? Well, you see, I heard this voice. Think about this. I heard this voice. Really? You heard a voice? Yeah, I heard a voice. And it gets better. 3 years go by. 3 years go by before God commands him again to put his clothes back on. And then God tells him to declare this word. It's a little graphic. It says, as I have bared your buttocks, as you have walked around naked and bared your backside for 3 years, I will bare the backside or the buttocks of Egypt, and I will let the Assyrians come in and destroy them. Just think about this for a minute. God asked him to go around naked for 3 years, bearing everything. And the word that God gave him wasn't even for Israel. So sometimes God's message, and when God speaks into our lives, it can have a pretty high price that we may have to pay. We've referenced this a few times as of late in Exodus chapter 20, the Israelites, when God, they were camped out at Mount Sinai, and God wanted all of Israel to come up to the mountain. And the people saw the thundering and the lightning, and they heard the trumpets, and they saw the mountain and smoke and shaking. And they trembled with fear. They said, God is going to destroy us. We can't handle his voice in our lives. So they begged Moses to, you go up there, Moses, and you let God speak to you, and then you can tell us what God is trying to say. Because if we listen directly to the voice of God, it will kill us. So we'd rather listen to you. Well, the problem was they really didn't listen to either one most of the time. But we have to understand something when it comes to the voice of God in our lives, church, that whenever we hear the voice of God, whatever God touches, he changes. So if God is seeking to touch you today, by speaking to you, he may speak in a loud voice. He may speak in a very soft voice. But when God speaks into our lives, he changes our lives. You see, hearing from God produces a long-term calling. It will alter how we make our choices in life. When I first in my life started recognizing the voice of God, I started changing how I did things. I made different choices. I changed my value system. Those choices changed my life. It changed my values. I began to refocus life in a different method and different way. I changed how I behaved. My behavior patterns changed. Now, this is kind of a a catch 22. You see, while hearing from God, it might cost us something in our lives. Also, when we're able to distinguish and hear from God, it opens up a floodgate. It opens up a floodgate of blessing. I never realized and understood just how valuable hearing God's voice could be in my life. You see, it allows the Holy Spirit, the living water of the Holy Ghost, to flow into our innermost being. Sometimes we go through times in our lives when we're dry and we're thirsty, and we hear from God, and God speaks to us. And it's just something just happens inside of us. When we can hear his voice. We can feel his presence in our lives. I don't know how you are. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. And there are times when you're frustrated and you go and you begin to hear that voice. And most of the time, no, it's not the thunder and the lightning. It's that small, still voice that speaks into your heart, speaks into your mind, and gives you that level of comfort. It opens the door into an abundant life. You see, full love and full intimacy with God will only occur and can only come when we begin to recognize and hear his voice in our life. A lot of us in here are married. Some of us aren't married. But we're all used to relationship in one way or another. You see, it's hearing my wife's voice every day, throughout the day, in those quiet times, in the not so quiet times, but it's hearing her voice consistently in my life is what continues my love for her. I recognize her voice, I know her voice. I can tell by her tone whether she's pleased with something or not happy with something. And it's very much the same way with God. We need to tune our lives, put our lives to where we can tune in. So how does God speak to you and I today? See, we're not Old Testament prophets. I don't believe that Brother Rico is going to come down here today and God's going to speak to him and God's going to tell him, you know what, Brother Rico, peel your clothes off and head out to the parking lot and go out to the corner and start to preach to the people as they drive by. I don't see that happening. It's a different dispensation. We live in a different time. God spoke different ways and different dispensations of time. He spoke much differently in the Old Testament than he did in the New Testament. You see, how God spoke in the New Testament was he came here on earth himself. Before it was once a year in the holiest of holies, he would speak through his priests. That's how people wanted it. That's how Israel wanted it. They wanted a priest to do their talking. And in the New Testament, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. If we have his Spirit, this is why receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this evidence of speaking in tongues and water baptism is so important because we can have the Spirit of God inside of us. So we're not Old Testament prophets. We're the church. We're the saints of the Most High God, and we're seeking and striving to be the best that we can be for Jesus Christ. So when's the last time you heard God speak to you? Some of us may say, well, I just talked with God this morning. Others might say, well, it's been a long, long time. And even others may say, you know, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God in my life. It's very tragic because many, many of us, far too many Christians, will say that I'm not certain if I've ever heard God speak in my life. You see, we live in a day where that the secular world is crying out for answers. I read in the news and listen, and everybody that has a voice is voicing, and the world is crying out for answers. And as a church, as a Christian, we need to have the answers, and we should have the answers. But most of the church world is silent. They're just sitting there, just stuttering. But you see, if we look into God's Word gives us some powerful clues on how God speaks to humanity. I love the Psalms. I love Psalms 119. I remember the very first Bible that I got. It was a Word of Flame Bible. I got it in Sunday school in La Crosse. It's very similar to this one that someone left here on the platform. But Word of Flame, and inside the cover of the Bible, it had a little picture of a pair of feet and a lamp. And it had this scripture, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Sometimes we wonder, does God speak to us? Yes, He does. Just in case we can't hear Him voice and recognize His voice, you know what He did for us? He put it in His Word. And sometimes we get so caught up in hearing an audible voice, I'm not gonna do anything unless God speaks to me. Oh, you spiritual stink ball. He's got a book, 66 books, and every one of those books speaks right into the heart of humanity. But I will say this. Remember when I said if someone comes up to you and says, God spoke to me? God's got a word. God gave me a word for you, brother. If that word is contrary to anything in here, just rebuke it out of your life. God will never, listen to me, God will never, ever tell you something that's contrary to this right here. Period. Period. So, how does God speak? He speaks through the Bible. Psalm 119 to 105, His Word. God also speaks through signs and wonders. Sometimes we don't pay attention when there's a prophetic word that goes, that's a sign and a wonder. When we have a tongues and interpretation, so many times we just dismiss it as if, well, that was just God speaking. You had to quick get something in here. Let's get on with the service. Get on with the schedule. We got a barbecue this afternoon. Let's get it going. Hurry up, God. But God speaks. And when God speaks, it's best that we listen. Because there will come a time when God will no longer speak with man. Did you know that? Oh, we'll be in heaven. We'll have direct access. But signs and wonders. You know those testy trials and tests that we hate in our lives? How many of you love trials? How many of you just love it when your car breaks down, your roof leaks, you get fired from your job? All of those trials and tests. Did you know that God speaks through all of that? And sometimes that's the only way that God can get our attention, is to make our tire go flat. And sometimes it just goes flat because we got 87,000 miles on it. And it was only designed for 60. But sometimes God is trying his hardest to speak to us through our tribulations. Sometimes God speaks through other people, through other saints. Sometimes we find this in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Did you know that God can speak through our children? I had a conversation with Brother Peter Sandin. It's been a while ago now, but talking about his daughter, I believe, Sophia, that reading her Bible and sharing things that she's reading in her Bible with her daddy. Just how of an impact that it was making. She's sharing the Word of God with her father. God is speaking through all of this. God speaks through creation. I go out last night. I don't know if you were outside last night, but the moon, when it came up, it was just absolutely stunning. Beautiful. Where we live, it's really dark out. And just right before the moon came up, and you could see the reflection of the moon pushing up into the clouds. You could see the stars just for a little bit. And I just God just spoke. Just huge, like a big firework burst of just like splendor. Like, good evening, Roy. Here I am tonight. God speaks through his creation. Let's all stand. My time is up for this morning. We will finish this, I believe, Wednesday evening. I'm on the schedule. So we will finish this on Wednesday evening. We're going to pray. And if you have children over in the Sunday school wing, make sure you head over there right away and picked him up. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day that you have created. Lord, we're learning about how your voice works in our lives, recognizing your voice. And I pray, God, that every person that's here would become more sensitive this week, that we just slow down just a little bit and listen. God, your voice is all around us. It's in the stars. It's in our children. It's in your word. It's in the test and it's in the trials that we go through every day. God, be with us this week. Help us to take what we're learning and apply it into our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. We will take a 15-minute break here and we'll be back here at a few minutes after 11, and Brother Jerry Simmons will be speaking in our next session. God bless.